الله. Thank you very much, Sister Atiya, for this beautiful and eloquent and honest analysis and the derivation of the events today and connecting them to the events that took place during the time of Imam Hussein. May Allah bless you. We need more of, you know, youth like Sister Atiya, who would be an, you know, a vocal voice, the vocal voice of Islam, the righteous voice of Islam in this country. May Allah bless her. Also, please pray for Haj Sayyid Ali, our dear scholar and respected elder, Haj Sayyid Ali Mir Rafati. May Allah bless him, give him more health, grant him health, help in healing his knee joints, and keep him as a generous resource for this Muslim community, for this beautiful community. Also, brothers and sisters, I want to ask you again to pray for the speedy recovery of one of our dear friends. Some of you know him. He's the president and imam of Masjid Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam in Pomona, Sayyid Rida al-Hajjar, who's now in intensive care. Please join me, because today I visited him and he was in a very desperate situation, needing your dua, badly needing your dua. We will recite the ayah al-mubarakah 5 times for his speedy recovery. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ 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 اللهم شافي كل مريض، اللهم داوي كل جريح، المريض المنظور، اللهم ألبسه ثوب الصحة والعافية بحق مريض كربلاء. Brothers and sisters, especially the brothers this side, you know, I see it's getting crowded here, so I would mention the holy name of the Imam. Please stand up and move forward. Maybe in this area it's even better, so we will leave some room for the newcomers. رحم الله من ذكر القائمة من آل محمد. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أحسنتم. Very nice. Closely here. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر إلى ربك كيف مد الظل ولو شاء لجعله ساكنا ثم جعلنا الشمس عليه دليلا ثم قبضناه إلينا قبضا يسيرا صدق الله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Before I start the subject, let me translate this holy ayah of Surah Al-Furqan As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have you not seen your Lord who have extended and spread the shadow? If he willed, he could have made it still and have made the sun its reference and guide. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to say here? What is he saying and emphasizing that there are so many significant blessings and mercies of Allah? Among them is the mercy of shade and shadow that are overlooked and ignored by us. We simply take them for granted. We ignore them. We don't even pay attention to them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another ayah says, in the Holy Quran, it says, وَكَأَيِّن مِّنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. There are so many blessings, signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercies that we pass by and we completely ignore. We never look at it. Despite the fact that there are so many, so much of those blessings and signs and benevolences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever you turn, wherever you look, you will see a blessing of Allah. As the Almighty has said, وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. From whatever comes in your mind, whether it's a wish inside or you say it verbally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you of those blessings. وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you sit down and count those blessings, you will not be able to count them. Why? One reason is because of insan himself. Because he's very regretful, very disgruntled. Does not look at those blessings and mercies. Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, in the dua Arafah, one of the most beautiful and eloquent prayers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, he says in his acknowledging those, you know, enormous numbers of blessings, he says, وَلَوْ حَاوَلْتُ وَاجْتَهَدْتُ مَدَى الْأَعْصَارِ وَالْأَحْقَابِ لَوْ عُمِّرْتُهَا أَنْ أُؤَدِّيَ شُكْرَ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْ أَنْعُمِكَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ ذَلِكَ. If God gives me centuries and millennia of lives, thousands upon thousands of life, and during these time, I perform prayers and thanking Allah 24/7, I would not be able to pay back a single ni'mah, one single ni'mah. This is the man who have known the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the Almighty God, sometimes he scolds those people that are not aware, that they do not pay attention to those signs. A couple nights ago, we talked about the awareness. We said that one of those kinds are called ghafil, heedless. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ دَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمْ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They completely have cancelled all of those senses, those capabilities and blessings and benevolences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them for free. They have cancelled it all, not using it. They are equal to who? To the cattle. Then he says, they are even worse. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. Maybe some people think, this is a harsh statement, very harsh, you know, sentiment against humanity. God calls some humans as cattle and animals. Isn't this too much? Isn't this an exaggeration? But when we look carefully, brothers and sisters, when we ponder and see the matter up close, it becomes very befitting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exactly pinpointing to the trouble. Why? Number one, the cattle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them instinct. That the scholars say they are subject to the law of exploitation. There is an instinct. God has given them certain capacity. This much capacity. This much wisdom and intelligence. Based on this intelligence, they move. They always move in the same path. But the human being, this ghafil, this heedless, despite the fact that God has given him such a big, wide scope of knowledge, but he utilizes, you know, very little. Therefore, that animal, that cattle, who have used his capacity to the fullest, is better than this human being, whose God has given him such a huge capacity, yet he only uses this much of it. This is one reason. The other reason, those animals, those cattle, never cross the red line that God has delineated for them. When God draw a red line for the animal, for the cattle, that animal never crosses this red line. They follow exactly what God has shown them. Their instinct, have you seen a deer walks toward the lion or a tiger? No. Why? Because this is how his instinct, this is how he was brought. This is the makeup of an animal. They never crossed this red line. Have you seen two male bulls mate with each other? But how many human bulls mate with each other? Why? Because they have crossed this red line. But the animals do not cross the red lines. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown humanity and those are human, the way of salvation, the right path, yet they go just in the opposite. This is a shameful act, brothers and sisters, that in this country that is considered, if you count the houses of worship, let alone churches or synagogues or masajid, this country becomes number one on the face of the planet. Yet they make this shameful law for the, you know, same-sex marriages. Why? Under what reason? Under the name of modernity and equal right. Isn't this passing the red line that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has delineated? The animals do not pass this red line. Therefore, it's narrated in the hadith, if you see an animal, if you have a pet, never curse this animal. Don't say la'natullah alayh, because he is going to repeat it. He will say la'anallahu a'sana li'khaliq. God will curse, he will get it back to you, will say God will curse the one who is more disobedient to him. The animal cannot be disobedient to God. It is only the human. Moreover, let's assume that one of those animals become this, you know, disobedient and deviant. He only hurts himself, hurts itself. You know, have you seen a single animal destroys entire herds of animals? Only hurts themselves. But a single human, if goes deviant, he can destroy an entire country. Entire nation can go to Jahannam because of a single person. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. So in this ayah that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is trying to say that do not become heedless. Open your mind, look at the mercies that I have given to you and think, if those mercies, those benevolence did not exist, how would your life would look like? What would be the quality of your life? Imagine one of those blessings, one of those signs were missing. Would you be able to continue your life? always put it in this way. If this did not exist, what would happen? I will give you a simple example. If we are stung by a bee or poked by a needle, what happens? We jolt because we feel the pain. Why do we feel the pain? Because there are nerve cells under the surface. They send a message to the brain. The brain analyzes it and tells immediately that there is a pain right here. There is something right here. There is something wrong right here that you need to take care of, isn't it? The head have, the scientists say, there is an estimate of 500,000 hairlines in the head. Of course, not my balding head, the regular one. The regular one, they say between 500 to 700,000 hairlines exist in the head. The similarity is same as the tissue of the skin. They have fatty glands, they have pigmented glands and everything, except one thing, and that is the nerve cells. They don't have nerve cells. Do you know why? If they used to have nerve cells, what would happen? Meaning that whenever we wanted to go to the barber shop to have, you know, to have our haircut, instead of going to the barber shop, we have to go to the hospital. Why? Because those nerve cells, again, will send the message to the brain that there is something wrong. We feel the pain. So instead of going to the barber shop, we'll end up in the surgery room. Anesthesiologists have to come and do, we under the anesthesia, our hair will be cut. When do we realize this? When this ni'mah, when this blessing is gone. When these are gone, at that time we realize what kind of people we were, how fortunate we were, and how those ni'mat and blessings were gone. It is a saying that is attributed to Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, who says, نعمتان مجهولتان الصحة والأمان. There are two hidden, concealed, overlooked blessings. One of them is security. Today, how many Muslim countries, I'm not talking about non-Muslim, how many Muslim countries at such time, like 1 hour, 2 hour after dusk, this mass number can gather together and peacefully have their rituals? How many Muslim countries? Without being bugged, without being killed, without being, even the house of worship have not been immune. People, during their prostration, during the Friday prayers, somebody comes in and kills them. Someone who declares, again, remember last night, who says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And they also say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. One thing, this is one ni'mah that we don't pay attention. Therefore, brothers and sisters, every day and night you should say so many times, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. At least you are in a place that you practice your religion, your faith, your rituals so freely, without being terrified by those vicious animals who come and kill. The other one is sah, health. As long as you are healthy, perform your duties. If you have not been in Hajj, go to Hajj. If there are certain rituals you have not done, as long as you have this health, do them, because soon all of those will be gone. Again, let's go back to what the ayah says. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here again is awakening us, is telling us, look at this shade that to you does not have any value. You have taken it for granted. Imagine if this shade did not exist. What will happen to your life? Here, I will list a few of them, and inshallah you will continue with the rest of the listing. Number one, if shades and shadow did not exist on the face of this planet, we were being sweltered and barbecued by the sun. The temperature of the earth would go so high that would not leave any living thing, you know, existing on the face of this planet. Animals will vanish. The plants, the forests, the vegetations, all will be burned down. Nothing is left. This life on this planet will resemble Jahannam. Jahannam has a shade, but doesn't have the effect of the shade. You know, one effect of the shade that keeps the temperature not rising. keeps the sun heat away from us. In Jahannam, there is a shade, darkness, but doesn't prevent from the flame of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, انطلقوا إلى ظل ذي ثلاث شعب لا ظليل ولا يغني من اللهب. When those people are sent to Jahannam, Allah tells them, go under that shade. But that shade would not rescue you, would not save you from the flames of fire. So number one is that life becomes, you know, unsustainable on the face of this planet if there are no shades. Second, there are major phenomena like solar and lunar eclipses that are done by how they happen is that when there is an obstruction between the sunlight, the beam of the sun, and those objects that happen to be Earth and Moon. When Earth is between Moon and Sun, we have lunar eclipse. When the Moon is between Earth and Sun, we have solar eclipse. Now those will be gone. Now the shade, they produce shade. And instead of, you know, they stand in front of the beam of the light, they produce shade. So those phenomena will be gone. If they gone, what happens? Scientists tell you that those have major effects on the climate. You know, due to the gravitation force, you see, the solar system is pulled. Our planet is pulled toward the sun due to the gravitation. When there is an obstacle between it, this gravitation is altered, is changed. This change causes change in the climate, in the tides, in the spring tides. So the climate will change if such kind of things do not exist. And lastly, brothers and sisters, we try to locate and position the objects sometimes based on their shapes in the space. We do not know where is the position of this item, this position, the position of this object. We find it, we realize it based on the shape. For example, the sun itself. One object is the sun. We can tell where is the sun located by looking at the shade. It starts from dawn. As it rises, this shade is such a long shade and keeps narrowing down until it becomes what? Noon. At noon, the shade becomes the smallest. Or in some areas, it becomes non-existent. It's gone. Again, start to increase, the shade will increase on the other side. The scholars, the Muslim scholars, use this, you know, this phenomenon, the length of the shade, to tell you at what time, you know, the noon prayer has arrived. At what time there is noon, at what time there is afternoon. So we position the objects based on those shades. Obviously, there are more other benefits from the shade, but I just keep it to this. After your big and loud salawat, we will continue, inshallah. Again, here is the ayah. It says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَيْفَ مَدَّ الظِّلِ. Don't you see your Lord, how He extended the shades? What is he talking about? The scholars say there are two kinds of scholars. Number one, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the shade that happens between the dawn and the sunrise. You see, there is light, little light, and the heat is low, but the sun does not exist. So the sunbeam is gone, there is light, but yet there is shade. So they say that this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to this fact that the shade, you know, that exists between dawn and the sunrise. That is the important one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at this one. Look at that time, how the weather is pleasant. You can see things, yet the heat of the sun does not exist. The intensity of the beam does not exist. The other scholars say no, it is even more important and more general. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not talking about that shade, rather talking about the shade of the night. The night is the important one, not that, you know, 1 or 2 hours of the shade. It is the shade that takes place between the sunset all the way to the dawn and sunrise. You know, the night is the shade of the planet. One half of the planet facing the sun, therefore it's a bright. The other half that has the shade, you know, we have the night. Those scholars, especially the modern ones, the recent ones, they say there is a subtle indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is trying to say that, look, this earth is a spherical. It's a sphere. Otherwise, if it were only a single surface, there is no interchange between day and night. Either we should have a day or we should have a night. Now, when day and night change, meaning that the position of this planet is changing. And the way that it changes, it has to be a sphere. These are the, you know, the recent scholars who allude to this fact. So here, what they are trying to say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is emphasizing on the mercy of night. Night is one of the greatest mercies and benevolences to human being. How does it happen? Again, the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in the same ayat where he says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. Night is a garment, meaning you cover yourself with the garment. وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتَ وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy and wisdom, have made night a resting time. وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتَ. What does subat mean? Subat comes from sept. Sept, even in English, they call it Sabbath. What is Sabbath? Hibernation. When somebody stays at home and rests. Whoever rests is called, you know, he's in Sabbath. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, is saying that night is for you to rest, for the body functions to rest. You see, brothers and sisters, you know, I'm not a medical doctor here, so, but you know all of those, but I have a point at the end that I want to get. The human body has two types of functions, or two types of organs. One type of organ that works involuntarily, whether we want it or we don't want it, whether we like it or we don't like it. Those types of organs always work 24/7. Like what? Like the heart, like the lung, the liver, the kidney, the bladder. All of those internal organs, they work by the order of whom? By the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have much leverage and influence on them. Those are working, whether we want them or not. The other type of organs, the external ones, the vision, the hearing, the walking, the movement, the hands, the legs, those are the ones that needed to be resting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought this night as a proper time for those to rest. Tells you that you have to rest. If you do not rest, you know, you will get into trouble. Those organs will end up in, you know, in organ impairment, and eventually death will loom. Therefore, you need to rest. When those organs rest, also the internal organs will rest. The heavy loads will be reduced, as those internal organs will be on the standby. Therefore, they tell you before going to bed, at least 4 hours, do not eat anything. Have your lunch or your dinner at least 4 hours before you go to bed. Why? Because this poor stomach also need to rest a little bit. The same manner that your eyes and your ears want to rest, that poor stomach needs to, you know, not to have such a heavy load. Otherwise, you will end up having many troubles, many problems. The reflex is that you will have a problem with digestion, with food intake. Therefore, before bed, eat little bit. Second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has ordered the night to be our garment, this is the normal mode of resting. Meaning that you should sleep during what? During the time of night, not during the daytime. The nighttime is the suitable time for sleeping. Even scholars, not scientists, have shown that we have certain biological, you know, reagents and agents inside our bodies that they are not formed and they don't function unless it's a total darkness. When there is a total darkness at night, those biological reagents start to work, start to function properly. One of them, you see, all of us grow, and you know, some of those biological reagents, they also help regulation of the body. When we grow, during what age we grow? From birth until 22, 23 years of old. Those babies that they grow, what time they grow? During their sleep. Scientists have shown that the more they have, you know, intervals of sleep during the night, the bigger their sizes will be. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the suitable time for resting at night. Tells you sleep at night. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, sallu alayhi wa ala sallam. It says, إِذَا رَقَدْتُمْ. When you sleep, turn off the lights. Why? So those biological species can do their function properly. So you will gain your health. And fortunately, one of the biggest plights and afflictions of modernity is that they have changed the time. Day has become night and night has become day. Especially in our homeland, unfortunately. Go to any Muslim country. Go to any Middle Eastern country. You see people, the entire household, everybody is awake 30 minutes before dawn. Until 30 minutes before dawn, they make sure that they are awake. 30 minutes before dawn, they are asleep. Why? Because shaitan wants to make sure that they sleep for the salat as-subah. Everywhere, wherever you go, you see, unfortunately, this terrible bad habit. Now, the whole population is open, but the vital things, the important things, and the services are closed. For example, hospitals are closed. Clinics are closed. Pharmacies are closed. What is open? Only the cafeterias and the fast foods, and those are places for hookahs and shishas. And mashallah, they're bustling with the youth sitting there, you know, smoking hookahs and shishas and doing nothing. Now somebody who awakes, keeps himself awake until 3 and 2 a.m., will he be able to wake up at 7 a.m. and go to work at 8 a.m.? What time they go to work? And this is, seriously, this is not a joke that I'm telling you because we have lived there. I can see that. This is the general trend in our countries. Someone who's wake, late at sleeping will get up, of course, late. And instead of getting at 8 o'clock, he will get at 10 and 11. And to compensate, because he came late, he has to leave early. So tired, they go back again home, accomplishing nothing. Now, do we wonder why Muslim countries' productivity has been reduced? Why? There is a statistics. The Middle Eastern countries, all as a whole, out of, inshallah, out of 7 hour works, their only productive, useful time of work is 35 minutes. 35 minutes out of 7 hours. 7 hours. You wonder why the Muslim countries are in the bottom list of the countries? Why? Because we have changed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, here is the rule. Follow the rule. If you follow the rule, you know,
you will succeed. If you don't follow the rule, you will not succeed, even if you perform Salatul Layl. But the other guy, the other person, if he follows the rule, he will succeed. I remember when I was here at UCLA, believe me, it's not only me. Whoever was with me in the lab, sometimes, some days, we would see the sunrise and the sunset, both at work. Sunrise and sunset, including our professor. That's why you see, this country has become so productive. Why? Because they have utilized their time properly. Unfortunately, us, we have not. Now, whom should we blame? Again, is this a conspiracy of US and Israel? Or this is our own conspiracy? Honestly, this is the problem, brothers and sisters. If we don't change our habits, if we don't change ourselves from inside, we will be bogged down the way that we are. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said it, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. You want change? You have to start with yourself. The minute I change from myself, you know, things will change. Let's move on. So the Almighty here, again, is saying that this is the extended shade that brings you the blessings of night. But if Allah decides, will keep the shade stationary while make the sun revolve around it. Pay attention to this, brothers and sisters. Meaning that right now what happens? The sun is stationary and the shade moves around it, right? That the shade has become a reference indicator to the sun. We can tell where the sun is by looking at the shade. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I can change it. I can separate, disconnect the two from each other. The shade could be in one place, the sun, and the light of the sun could be somewhere else. They don't have any connection with themselves. Or I can just do the opposite. I can make the shade stationary while the sun can revolve around it. There are two points. Number one, again, those recent scholars tell you, here is again another indication that this system, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the solar system. In the first, currently, when it says that the sun is stationary and the shade is moving. Why the shade is moving? Because the earth is moving. Therefore, here's again another indication that it is the earth that revolves around the sun, not the other way around. You see, before, they used to believe that the earth is the center of the universe and everything is revolving around the earth. This ayah says the otherwise, that it is the sun that is stationary and earth is removing around it. The other thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is indicating the reference, the importance of reference. Before I say that, is it possible that the shade and the sunlight will be separated? Yes, it is possible. How? The scientists tell you, look at the planet Mercury. Mercury is the closest planet to the sun. You know, there's Mercury and other ones, Venus, I think, until we get to Earth. The closest one is Mercury. Mercury, you know, those planets have different rotation, different movements. One around themselves, one around the sun. The scientists say that Mercury, the same movement that has around itself, with the movement that has around the sun, is equal. The same. When those two become the same, the shade is gone. One side of the planet is always light. Always light. Why? Because it doesn't allow him to revolve. Doesn't allow the planet to revolve to expose the other half to the sun. Therefore, only one side light. The other side is dark. Therefore, the shade is gone in the first one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you want me to make you like Mercury? Here, it says in the ayah, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Should we make layl, night, is continuous, eternal until the day of Qiyamah?
من إله غير الله يأتيكم بضياء أفلا تسمعون.
Or you want the day to be perpetual and eternal until the day of Qiyamah. Who's going to bring you night that you will sleep in? These are the blessings that you need to pay attention. This is one. The second thing, brothers and sisters, and here is what I'm, you know, the whole thing is about this point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is telling you, in this life, I have put the sun and the shade as reference. Besides many things that the sun do and the shades do. But one important benefit is that they have become indicator, reference, a standard. Based on those, I find my way. I use those as a guidance in order to get to my target. Imagine this, that the sun and the shade become your GPS. You locate yourself where you are, how far you want to go based on the location of the sun and the shade. This is the beauty of the reference. It tells you the reference, it guides you toward the right path, toward your conclusion, toward your target, where you want to go. Use this reference to get it to this line. Now, which one is important, this life or the Akhirah? In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does this life worth anything in front of Akhirah? Absolutely not. So if this life, which is not that so important in front of Akhirah, God has a created reference. Hasn't He created a reference for Akhirah? He must have created a reference with Akhirah. Why? Because this life that we live only few years, He made two references. There are two references, use them. For the Akhirah, that I have to do all the good things and to stay in Akhirah forever, He wouldn't create a reference for me. What is that reference? I have to do my a'mal, my deeds. Those deeds all have to be haqq, based on the true path. I should be careful not to make any mistakes so they don't become batil. How do I recognize this? How can I judge and evaluate my a'mal, my state of existence, whether I am going on the right direction or not? The scholars say that the Prophet, peace be upon him, has made it so easy to you, has showed you the reference. Told you want to find out your a'mal are good or not? You want to find out whether the state that you exist in is on the right path or the wrong path, whether they are haqq or batil? Here I will give you a reference. Aliyun ma'a al-haqq wal-haqqu ma'a Ali. Yaduru ma'ahu haythuma dar. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Here is the reference. Look at this reference. And by the way, this hadith that I narrated, it is not only the Shia school of thought say it. It is unanimous. It's called muttafaqun alayh, meaning that both scholars on both sects, you know, narrate this hadith. Aliyun ma'a al-haq wal-haqqu ma'a Ali. Yaduru ma'ahu haythu ma dar. Wherever Ali ibn Abi Talib turns, haq also turns with it. If Ali ibn Abi Talib goes to right, haq is also to right. Left. Why? Because Ali ibn Abi Talib is the reference. Ali ibn Abi Talib is the indicator. Based on the actions and the existence and positions of Ali ibn Abi Talib, I can evaluate myself. I can tell where am I, whether I am on this side or on the other side. Therefore, the Prophet, peace be upon him, told him one day, Ya Ali. He himself, Ali ibn Abi Talib, say, and this is narrated in Sahih Muslim. He says, وَالَّذِي بَرَأَ الْحَبَّ فَلَقَ الْحَبَّ وَبَرِئَ النَّسَمَ إِنَّهُ لَعَهْدُ النَّبِيُّ الْأُمِّيِّ إِلَيْهِ. Ya Ali, لا يحبك إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضك إلا منافق. No munafiq will love you. He has to hate you. And no mu'min exists that he doesn't love you. He has to love you. Where is the place of munafiq? Munafiq is in Jahannam. Where is the place of mu'min? Has to be in Jannah. Therefore, Ali ibn Abi Talib has become the divider between haqq and batil, between wrong
and falsehood between Jannah and Jahannam. On the day of Ashura, when Abi Abdullah al-Hussein stood in their faces, told them, "Ansibuni man ana." Come, tell me, who am I? Don't you recognize me? Don't you know that I am the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I am the son of Fatima. My uncle used to be Hamza and Ja'far al-Tayyar. Do you know whom you are killing? وَيْحَكُمْ أَلِقَتِيلٍ قَتَلْتُهُ وَيْحَكُمْ In the صَلُّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ He says, وَيْحَكُمْ أَتَطْلُبُونِي بِقَتِيلٍ فِيكُمْ قَتَلْتُهُ Have I killed someone from you that you come and kill me? أَوْ مَالٍ لَكُمْ اسْتَهْلَكْتُ I have spent some of your money. أَمْ عَلَى سُنَّةٍ غَيَّرْتُهَا I have changed the tradition of the Prophet. Under which right you want to kill me? Here is they tell him, نُقَاتِلُكَ بُغْضًا مِنَّا لِأَبِيكَ For one reason. Because of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Because we hate Ali ibn Abi Talib. We cannot stand Ali ibn Abi Talib. For that reason, because he's your father, we are killing him. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet make him as a reference. Those people show their position to the reference. How they have, you know, become so opposite to that reference. Of course, those were the majority of that army. On the other side, they were the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Handful of those, only 72, 75, of those companions who went to defend Imam Hussein for the sake of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Tonight belongs to the companions. One of them is Habib ibn Mudahir. Habib was in Kufa, an elderly man, maybe around 70, 80 years old. One night, Habib sleeps. In the night, he dreams. He sees a collection of dignified ladies, all wearing black. But in the center, there is an exalted, dignified lady. She looks at him and tells him, Habib, my son, in the desert of Karbala and you are sitting in Kufa, he is lonely and you have abandoned him. He wakes up terrified. He doesn't know who's that person. Some say that he have asked in the dream. Told her, Sayyidati, my lady, who are you? She told him, I am mother of Hussein. I have come here to ask you to go and rescue Hussein. Right on that minute, when he wakes up from his dream, someone knocks on the door. He opens the door. He tells him, I am messenger of Hussein. This is a letter from Hussein. He reads the letter. He asks his servant to go outside of the city, waiting for him. He tells him, wait for me. So the enemy does not see me. I will come, take you, and take the horse and go to rescue my master Hussein. When he goes slowly, and you know, in a way that people could not recognize him. He notices that the servant is talking to the horse, telling him, "Yeah, oh horse. If my master Habib would not come, I will ride you, will go to defend my master Hussein." That was one person, Habib. When Habib came to the camp of Imam Hussein, there was a big noise. Everybody was happy to see and elated to see Habib have entered the camp of Hussein. When everybody settled, a little boy came and said, "Where is Habib? I have a message to Habib." They told him, "This is Habib." He looked at Habib and told him, "Habib, my aunt Zainab says, Assalamu alayk. She sends her regards to you. And tell you, Habib, la tuqassir fi nusrati Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Do not lessen the assistance
to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Defend Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Habib grabs the dirt and pushes right over his head. And he says, Man ana litukhatibani Zainab? Who am I that Zainab sends my salam to me? That was one man, Habib. Other one, there were multiple ones. One of them is Joan. Joan was a slave, a servant of Abu Dharr. On the battle of Ashura, Imam Hussein tells him, Joan, you have been with us so many days, so many years. You don't have to continue. Go somewhere else. اتبعتنا للعافية. Find any other place to go. He said, يا ابن رسول الله, أنا في الرخاء ألحق قصاعكم. Alhasuk asa'akum, during the good time, I was, you know, tailgating you, following you, wherever you go. I would used to reap the benefits from your mastery. Now the time that I have to come and defend you and you need somebody, I would desert you. How would I desert you, O Aba Abdullah? Inna lawni la aswad, wa inna hasadi la la'een. وَإِنَّ رِيحِي لَنَتٍ My smell is bad. My color is dark. No one knows me. I want my blood to be mixed with the blood of Ahl al-Bayt. So tomorrow my skin will be brightened. My smell, my aroma would be great aroma. And Allah would accept me among the Salihin. This guy was one of them. Another one was Wahab. Wahab ibn Kilab was a Christian man. He was passing by that area. He, along with his wife and his mother, when they passed by that area, they told them, this is the grandson of the Prophet. He is here held, surrounded by the enemy. He goes to the camp of Hussein. He declares his Islam, becomes Muslim on the day of Ashura. Imam Hussein tells him, go, go. You don't have to fight here. His mother tells him, no, Wahab. You have to stand up and fight. Now he has promised his wife that they would not separate. They will live together and die together. In the battle of Karbala, when the battle erupted, his mother came and told him, Ya Wahab, I will not forgive you if you do not go and fight. He goes for a couple hours, fights, couple hours, fight, and come back and tell her, Ummah, araditi anni? Are you satisfied? She said, no, Allah, I will not until I saw your blood is drenching from you. His wife grabs him, tells him, Wahab, didn't you promise me we will be together? He brings her back to the camp of Imam Hussein. As he fights, all of a sudden he hears his wife from back, tells him, Ya Wahab, qatil bi abi ant, qatil dun al-tayyibin. Fight, Wahab, don't stop. He tells her, what's happening? Just a few minutes ago, you were telling me, do not fight. She tells him, Ya Wahab, la talummi, inna wa'iyat al-Husayn qatta'at niyata qalbi. I have seen something that I could not stand. I saw Hussein right on the door of the camp saying, wa qillata nasara, ala hal min nasirin yansuruna. ألا هل من معين يعيننا لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته